We've been looking for the last several weeks. We've been talking about having a clean slate for the new year. We've been looking at seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross. And in that, we've been speaking about there are things that you and I need to have on our bucket list. You may call it your to-do list, but even Jesus himself had these seven things on his bucket list that he wanted to do, that he wanted to accomplish, that he wanted to finish before he drew his last breath there on the cross to pay the sin debt in full. Actions speak louder than words. I think all of us could agree tonight there are lots of things in life that bring satisfaction to our lives, whether it's to accomplish something that you have created with your God-given gifts and talents, whether it is to finish high school, whether it's to finish a GED or to go on to college and seek a degree or go beyond that to doctoral work and postdoctoral work. Maybe for you it's to accomplish being a great mother, someone to be a great grandmother, to be a great wife, to be a wonderful child to your parents. There are all kinds of accomplishments that you and I have in life. There are all kinds of things that we want to finish, and we want to be able to say at the end of the day, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. I've quoted this before, but there is a song many, many, many years ago. I heard it back in 1968 when Martin Dayton Mullins out at Velma was killed in an accident. He was the nephew of Cordia Martin. Many of you knew who Cordia Martin was. And I can remember that day at the First Methodist Church there in Velma, when the soloist stood to sing a song. I'd never heard it before, but I heard it that day. I never forgot it. My task, to love someone more dearly every day, to ponder o'er a nobler thought and pray, and smile when evening comes, this crowns my task. I think each one of us here this evening, we could say that as we look at this sixth item in our bucket list, we want to accomplish some things before we leave this life. We want to be able to come to the end of the road of life, realizing that we did well with what we had, and we used our gifts, we used our talents, and we used them to the fullest that God had given to us in order to accomplish our mission, to finish our task, and to do the will and the purpose of the Lord Jesus. Jesus had been hanging on the cross for some 6 hours. He was the victim of the sins of the world. He was the victim who carried our sins to the cross. We should have been the ones that were the victims that day, but because we owed a sin debt that we could not pay, he came out of heaven's glory, robed in human flesh, to pay the sin debt for us on the cross. For 6 hours, we might say he had been climbing up Mount Everest, that huge mountain there, that mountain of sin in all of our lives that we have committed in this life. And Jesus, I believe, as he climbed that cross that day, I believe that he forever settled the sin debt and paid the debt in full. According to our text for this evening in the book of John, chapter 19, John records the words. John was the beloved disciple, as he always penned that in his writings about who he was. He didn't mention his name so much there, but he always talked about being the beloved disciple. In chapter 19, verse 30, Scripture says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, tetelestai. That's the Greek term that means it is finished. In fact, the Greek form of the verb teleo means to finish or to accomplish that task. And notice Jesus said that day, tetelestai. It's one word in the Greek and it's three words here in the English. Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. For 6 hours, Jesus had been tortured. Jesus had been brutalized. He had been worked over. And now his work is over. And he dies with an accomplished mission. And in those final words, Jesus shares with you and me some things that we need to make sure we've done. Things we need to be sure that we have finished before we're finished in this life. And first of all, I want us to notice we need to finish our walk with God. Finish our walk with God. A lot of people start out. They start out just with the blaze of going great guns for Jesus. But somewhere along the way of life, I don't know what happens. I don't know if it's just the deception of Satan or if some way something catastrophic happens in their life and the flame begins to burn away and they're no longer out there engaged in the things of God. I believe one of the important things for you and me to do on our bucket list is to finish our walk with God. I would imagine that if any one of us here this evening were to die before tomorrow comes, we would die with some unfinished business at hand. I want you to think about that this evening. If the world ended tonight, there would be unfinished business all over this world. Kim, would you put up the picture I want you to put up there for just a minute? As you look at that picture, does anybody know what that's called? Mount Rushmore. And I want you to notice those figures up there, those presidential figures. The sculptor that sculptured those, Gutzon Borglum, he started work that he never finished. His original intent was to extend the figures of each of those presidents, but he never got that accomplished. There are millions of tourists that visit Mount Rushmore every single year, but never realize that they are looking at some unfinished works of art. What is it that you would leave unfinished if you died suddenly tonight? Would you leave some unfinished things in this world? Maybe people that you didn't get along with and you had never come to the place of forgiveness. Maybe a wayward child or a grandchild that has gone astray and you have tried your very best in all of your feeble attempts to try to rectify whatever has happened, you could not get that done or you did not get that accomplished. Maybe it was somewhere in the world that you wanted to go and travel to, things that you wanted to see in life. Maybe it was a book that you never got to write that you wanted to write. Maybe it's books that you've never read. Maybe it's a letter that you've never written. Maybe it's a bill that was not paid. Maybe it was promises that you never kept. Maybe it's that you needed a will and you didn't have a will and you would die intestate. That means without a will. You see, one of these days we're going to all leave this world with all kinds of things we wish we would have done, things we wish we could have accomplished and said mission accomplished, things that we really intended to do, but we never got it done. Only one person in human history never left behind any unfinished business, and that is Jesus Christ. He came to the earth for a purpose that was designed, ordained by God the Father. And from the time Jesus was born until the time that he died, he followed the path that God had laid out for him to walk. And he walked it to the very last step of his journey. Let me tell you, God has laid out a path. God has laid out a plan for you and for me. I come in contact with so many people who say to me, you know, I've never really found what my mission in life is. I've never really got on track with what is the purpose of my life. I hear so many people that will lose a spouse and then they will question, what is my purpose in life? Where do I go from here? What do I do from here? How do I face each of my tomorrows? Well, let me remind you that in the Psalms, in the English Standard Version, which is the translation there in the pew, in the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist David said in verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Let me tell you, God wants us to stay on the path until the path runs out. If God's called you to be a Sunday school teacher, keep on teaching. If God's called you to be a deacon, he didn't uncall you. Keep on deacon. If God called you to be a greeter, keep on greeting. If God called you to be an usher, be the best usher you can be. If God called you to work in security and safety, be the best you can be. If God called you to work with the nursery, be the best nursery worker you can be. Be the best volunteer as a children's worker, as a youth worker. Whether God's called you, given you talents to work in the kitchen, let me tell you, it's a great ministry. Be the best you can be at whatever you do for Jesus, because Jesus gave his best to each one of us. We used to sing an old song in the Broadman, "Hear ye the master's call, give him your best. Our best, our all." Let me tell you, the path will lead you to different places many times. Sometimes the path looks like it'll run out. Sometimes the path leads us to success. Sometimes the path leads us to sacrifice things in our lives. Let me tell you, sometimes his path leads to suffering. In fact, Jesus' path was the way of suffering down the Via Dolorosa. The way of suffering as he went to the cross. Let me tell you, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. You see, there was the social suffering that Jesus went through. What do you mean he went through social suffering? Well, number one, his own family rejected him. Let me tell you, it wasn't until after resurrection that his brothers, his sisters, and then his family even recognized that he was truly who he said that he was. No wonder Jesus looked down from the cross at his mother with John there and said, "John, your mother." No wonder Jesus was concerned about that. Jesus understood social suffering. He understood rejection. He understood what it was like to be bullied. He understood what it was like to not be believed. He underwent social suffering like no other. Well, let me tell you, Jesus also undertook for us physical suffering. Crucifixion, the cruelest form of dying in the history of the world. David, some 1,000 years before Jesus ever was crucified on the cross, King David spoke of crucifixion. It had never even been invented until some 500 years after David spoke about it. Let me tell you, Jesus understood the pain you suffer tonight. Anybody have any aches and pains out there? Let me tell you, Jesus knows all about our struggles. We sang, "Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend." That's well known. Let me tell you, Jesus understood physical suffering then. Jesus understands physical suffering tonight. I've thought 1,000 times as I've walked down the halls of nursing homes and hospitals. I thought, you know, oh, to have the gift of healing. To have the gift of healing, to be able to walk in to and empty those hospitals. Let me tell you, Jesus understood social suffering, rejection of his own family, rejection of the Jewish people. Jesus himself was a Jewish carpenter. Let me tell you, there was also spiritual suffering of bearing the world's sins and being totally separated from his heavenly Father when the lights went out that day on that Good Friday. We call it Good Friday, but I want you to know the things that happened on that day were heinous. They were hideous. It was good for us because Jesus would tack the sins of the world on himself. Let me tell you, whether the path of life is smooth or rocky, whether it's uphill or downhill, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, let me tell you, Jesus finished his walk with God on the paths of righteousness. When I spoke to the young people this morning and almost fell off the stage, I saw a few of you giggle out there. I caught myself before I absolutely made a fool of myself. But you know, when I used the Lord's Supper table this morning as an example, if this were a replica of the Ark of the Covenant, and when I spoke about that on either end facing each other, there were these cherub replica angels, and they overlooked the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was where the presence of God always dwelt for the Jewish people. That's why they were so incredibly afraid of the mercy seat. In fact, when they carried it with rods and on their shoulder, and they were scared to death to touch it. I gave an illustration of that where Uzzah reached over and touched it as an oxen was taking it, and it started to fall, and he reached over and touched it, and God struck him down dead. And you might say, why on earth would God do that? Because God had given strict commandments. It was so important. And in that Ark of the Covenant were those 10 commandments. God said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And what did God's people do? They broke those 10 commandments. And so as the mercy seat was a symbol of the presence of God, God could see those broken commandments. And that's why the high priest would go up there into the Holy of Holies. And the Ark of the Covenant would be up there if the baptistry were the Holy of Holies. And the curtain was there over it. And when the high priest would take the blood of the goats one time a year and enter the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood across the mercy seat, God didn't look at the broken commandments. God looked at the blood. Let me tell you, I don't think that you and I even begin to comprehend what the cross was like. Sometimes in our lives, we get so caught up in a crazy world that we're in that we sing and we don't even realize sometimes what the words say. Let me tell you, Jesus walked. He finished his walk with God and he walked in the right direction. He walked in the right places. He walked the right way and he walked with the right heart. Let me tell you, if you're married, let me tell you, you need to finish the journey well. Amen? Amen? I must have a bunch of singles out there. Well, if you're in the ministry, let me tell you, you need to finish. You need to finish the ministry. You need to finish it being faithful. You need to finish it being fruitful. Let me tell you, one of these days, whatever it is that God has given each one of us to do, we need to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish and finish our walk with Him. You may be one of the best intercessor prayer people, and God has given you an incredible passion to be an interceder. I've always said, someday when we get to heaven, I believe some of the greatest people in all of life are not people that stood behind the pulpit, not people that stood in a Sunday school class and taught a Sunday school lesson, people that sung. I think some of the greatest people that will be rewarded will be those who were prayer warriors and prayer intercessors. Never wanting any recognition, never wanting any praise, but praying. Let me tell you, when Jesus sat down, and by the way, when the priest didn't have a chair up there in the Holy of Holies. He never had time to sit down. His work was never finished. But I want you to know that day that the curtain was torn from top to bottom. And Jesus said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." His work, his mission was accomplished. And then Resurrection Sunday came. And then for the next 40 days, he walked up and down the paths of Jerusalem and throughout that area. Let me tell you, there were people, 500 at one time, that witnessed his resurrected body. Let me tell you, after the 40 days of resurrection, after that 40 days, he ascended back into heaven, where the Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing there tonight? The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Aren't you grateful tonight that he prays? Let me tell you, I'm grateful that he knows how to pray when I don't know how to pray. Let me tell you, we need to finish our walk with God. Secondly, we need to finish the will of God. Jesus said, "It is finished." The question is, what is it? What did Jesus finish on the cross? John 4:34 tells us, Jesus said, "My food," Jesus said, "is to do what? The will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That was God. Let me tell you, the word "finish" is the same word that he used on the cross when he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Jesus knew his work in this life was that he was to do the will of God for his life. And that's why Jesus came. He completed that will. And when we die, the question is this: did we do our will, or did we do God's will? Church, I think it's true not only about each one of us individually. Did we do God's will that he sent us into the world to do? And then collectively as a church, do we do God's will, or do we do our will? Did we finish what we wanted to do, or did we finish what God wanted us to do? According to our will, or according to his will? God's will for us is for each of us to do his will until your last will is read. Think about that tonight. God's will for you and me is to do his will until our last will is read. Remember the words that Jesus said there in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22:42. Jesus' will was to do the Father's will, no matter how high the cost, no matter how rough the way, no matter how steep the climb, no matter how hurtful or painful the sacrifice. The one thing that mattered most to Jesus was to finish the mission, the will of Almighty God. It was the will of God for Jesus to come to save his people from their sins. How would he do that? He would willingly submit himself to death on the cross, and his blood would cover the sins of mankind. No longer would there be those Old Testament sacrificial blood sacrifices. Can you only imagine the thousands and hundreds of thousands of animals that had to be slaughtered throughout the Old Testament every year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur? Can you only imagine, as those animals would bleat and as those animals would cry out and as they were slain and the blood would be taken by the high priest into the Holy of Holies to be sprinkled on the mercy seat so that God would not look on those broken commandments, that he would see the blood. It was all pointing to the day that Jesus would say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Let me tell you, those Pharisees thought Jesus was finished. No doubt they thought, "We don't have to put up with this Galilean troublemaker anymore." Let me tell you, the Romans thought he was finished. No doubt they would say, well, there's just another pretender to Caesar's throne that's been put down for good. Even those disciples, they thought he was finished. I mean, they ran away from the cross that day, hid in the upper room, closed the doors behind them, and were scared. As one little kid said to me this morning, I'm scared to death. Right before they sang. Let me tell you, the disciples, they were scared to death. Let me tell you, no doubt they looked and thought it was a good run for the last 3 years that we've been with Jesus. We're sure going to miss him. But they were all wrong. When Jesus said it's finished, he was saying, in effect, I've done all that I needed to do. My mission has been accomplished, paid in full. Let me tell you, Jesus paid it all. Let me tell you, success in life is not Hollywood standards. Success in life is, have I found the will of God for my life, and am I accomplishing the will of God before I have to die someday? The third and final thing for tonight is finish the work of God. First of all, finish your walk with God. Secondly, finish the will of God. And thirdly, finish the work of God. Just before Jesus was arrested, he prayed for those disciples. And in his prayer in John 17, verse 4, he said, I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. I've brought you glory on earth. I want to ask each one of us a question here tonight. Have we brought him glory on this earth by finishing the work that he gave us to do? You see, only Jesus could redeem us and pay for our sins. Only he could satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Only Jesus could save his people from their sins. And he finished the work that God gave him to do. Let me tell you, that Greek word that Jesus used was very powerful in both legal circles as well as financial circles. Legally, it was important for this reason. If you were brought before a Roman judge and he pronounced you guilty of a crime, the judge would prescribe the sentence and write out a piece of paper called a certificate of debt. On one side of that paper, the judge would write out the crime that had been committed. And then on the other side of that paper, he would write the penalty of that crime that was incurred. When that person was put into a prison cell, that certificate of debt would be nailed to his prison door. And anybody who wanted to could come by and read it. They could see what this man had done, what he was having to pay for his crime. When this man had done his time, or if somebody came by and paid his legal fee, then the authorities would write over that certificate of debt that it was literally paid in full. They would then take that certificate and they would roll it up and they would give it to the prisoner. This was proof that the full demands of the law had been met. His debt was paid off and the prisoner was free to go and never to be tried for that crime again. When Jesus said, "It is finished, tetelestai," what he really was saying, paid in full. Jenna, the song you sang a few moments ago certainly summarizes this sermon for tonight. The debt of sin that the entire world owes to God, to every sin that's ever been committed yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it was paid completely off at the cross. I feel sorry for lots of people who are confused, who have misapplied scripture. I've had friends down through the years of some denominations, great people, but some of them believe that you can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. And I said to one of my friends one day of another denomination, you know, I don't understand how you can believe you can be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. I said, when you go to bed at night, how do you know if you're saved or lost? How would you know? Because let me tell you, there are sins of omission that every one of us commit every single day. There's always one more person you could have told about Jesus. There's always one more person you could have encouraged. There's always one more person that you could have called on the phone. There's always one more person that you could have visited in the nursing home. There's always one more person you could have checked on who was sick. The Bible says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. And I've said to them, my friends, and I don't know how many other denominations believe in the eternal security of the believer, but I'm thankful and I'm grateful that I am a child of the King first. I'm a Baptist by choice, and I'm grateful that we believe not because we're Southern Baptists, but because it's biblical doctrine. That when Jesus said, tetelestai, meaning it is finished, the sin debt is paid. He's not coming back out of heaven to do it again. Let me tell you, if you could be saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost, you would have to bring Jesus back and crucify him every time you sinned on the cross. No wonder Jesus would say, it is finished. The sin debt is fully paid. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was a lot of furniture, but I alluded to the fact a while ago that there was no chair because the chief priest could never sit down. His word was never his deeds were never finished because there was always another sacrifice that had to be offered. There was always more blood to be shed. There was another lamb to be slain. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, says, but when this priest, Jesus, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, what did Jesus do? He sat down. Where? At the right hand of God. Let me tell you, he took his rightful place in the Godhood as the Redeemer, the one who paid the sins on the cross that day. Death had Jesus in a stronghold, but Jesus took the sting out of death, and Jesus, he sapped the power out of sin, and he finished them once for all. We used to sing an old hymn, once for all, O sinner, believe it. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Let me tell you, when Jesus died, he did it once for all. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Temporary life? Everlasting life. Folks, let me tell you, I don't know about you. That gives me great peace at night. When I've gone to bed and I've done my best, and I've said, Lord, forgive me this day wherein I failed you. I'm grateful that, let me tell you, when he looks down, he sees the blood at the cross. And he reminds Satan, paid in full. Would you stand as we pray together?